We heard it in the gospel reading, but let me put it up again for us to see and to hear. "This is my son," the voice from the cloud said. The voice we understand to be the Heavenly Father. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." The disciples up there on the mountaintop were kind of intrigued. They thought, wow, I want to listen to what Moses has to say. I want to listen to hear what Elijah has to say. We haven't had a prophet around for a while. He might have something to say about how John has been doing. But God made it clear to those disciples that he wanted us to listen to Jesus. That's why I try every Sunday. I get up early and I put the sermon there in front of the Lord and said, "Please take out anything that's me. Please put in more of you. Please make this what you want it to be, because I hope and pray that your hearing from the Spirit of God nudges and pulls and encouragements and warnings and comforts of God who loves you, trying to help guide all of us." I did that quote earlier in the service. I want to use it again, that God loves us exactly the way we are. We can't do anything to make him love us more. We can't do anything to make him hate us, love us less. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. Now, that's kind of humorous to say in a sermon. But if we who have raised kids know, isn't that really true? If your 21-year-old, as they head, or 18-year-old, as they head off to college, is still wearing diapers, you have not loved them enough to, you're not going to lead them that way, right? We train people out of potty training. We get them out of that. We train them to ride bikes. We train them to read and write. We train them how to say thank you. We train them how to function in this world. And we train them, Lord willing, most of all, to listen to Jesus. Of course, it's so much easier to do that when we ourselves are listening to him. If any of you have ever had the experience of teaching your kids how to drive, it is a very humbling experience, because all of a sudden, all those ways you were a little fast and loose with the rules, all those ways where you didn't come to the full stop at the stop sign and all those things, all of a sudden, another set of eyes is watching you. Because if you're going to teach them to do those things, you have to do it too. Children or grandchildren aside, we have this opportunity to receive from Jesus all of his love, to receive from God the Father all of his grace, to receive from the Holy Spirit all of his guidance. And when we get all of that poured into us, blessed upon us, we have the opportunity to shine. That's what Moses was doing, right? He got to be in God's presence, and he was up on the mountaintop receiving all the commandments. That's the pre-part before the reading that we had today. He's up on that mountain, and he doesn't even realize it, but his face has been set aglow. He's shining. He's got a shine to him. And I think we get that. I hope we get that when we come in here into church. We greet other people who encourage us. We listen to God who guides us. We get forgiveness for our sins to free us. That's what it said there, didn't it? For there is freedom. Where there is the gospel, where there is Jesus, there is freedom. We get all of that. And it ought to help us to shine. But it's true, isn't it? The world, our own sinful flesh, throw some blame at the devil if we want to. It can kind of take the shine off of us, doesn't it? We can understand how Moses, that we might glow for a little while, but even that little bit of a glow can fade. It especially fades when we're apart from God, which is why Jesus warns us and encourages us in John chapter 15. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. If you stay close to me and a part of me, you'll keep shining." But when we're apart, it's so easy to notice the shiny things of this world, isn't it? And when we're apart from God, like, oh, wow, that new car is pretty shiny and great. I love that new car smell. Or this new coat. Oh, that new handbag, smell it. Oh, the leather on it, it's fantastic. Oh, I can't wait. Right? All of the shiny, wonderful things, it's new computers or it's new set of teeth, whatever it is. The things of this world all look so shiny and good. And none of them last. My father turned 88. He was telling me that through the help of his doctor and his dear, wonderful wife, my stepmother Sue, he has lost some weight, which is a good thing, which he really needed to do. And he told me, you know what happened when I lost weight? My dentures don't fit me anymore. Nothing lasts. I had a picture. I'm sorry I didn't show it, but someone who just remembered fondly this old rusty car that his grandfather used to drive. So when he bought a brand new car, he had it wrapped to look like a rusty car. I don't know. I guess it takes all kinds. I don't need to bother wrapping my car with something to make it look like rust. It just always happens, right? It does. We start to fall apart just like the things of this world. And yet we have this chance to shine, this chance to be changed. Little bit by little bit, we can do that, especially when we stay close to God. And I hope we're hearing his encouragement to do that, to be with him. Start each day with him. Start these 40 days of Lent together with him. And start every day, of course, with the Lord. But I wonder sometimes, and this question came to me as I was wrestling with these texts and praying over them, I wonder if sometimes a veil doesn't cover our heart. Maybe you heard that in the epistle reading where it said that even to this day, when the Spirit, when the Word of God is read, when Moses is read, there is a veil that covers their hearts. In other words, they hear it, but they don't really hear it. They don't take it to heart. It doesn't do anything to change them. Oh, yep, we know that. That's right. And we can do that too, can't we? We can sing these songs. We can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then we can walk out of here and act like we don't know it at all. We can act so un-Jesus-y when we are out in the world. Can it be a veil sometimes covers our own heart? Can it be that sometimes we go, yep, thanks for the grace, Pastor. I've got it from here. Thanks for the grace, God. I've got it from here. And we don't really take it in. It's not still amazing to us. Or we don't act on the grace to be that changed person. Imagine, just for a minute, you and I were felons, convicted of a felony robbery and theft. Whatever you wanted to add in there, whatever other charges that would make it more real for you. You spend 9 years in prison. You get out from that. But imagine still staying a prisoner in your mindset, still afraid to go out in the world, still afraid to live and act differently. All those chances you got to train and to learn how to live differently than the criminal that you were before, you don't do anything about them. I've met such a person recently who, whether you want to call it, they were so beat down in their mind, in their heart, they are someone that has been out of prison, and somehow, some way, they just feel like they're going to end up back there soon anyway. I don't know if that sinks in for anybody. I hope and pray. Yes, we end up back here in these pews every week, and yes, we've sinned in the meantime, and we need forgiveness at this communion rail. But it doesn't mean we have to continue always to seek out the same sin and the same level of sin, does it? Are we not called? Aren't we have the opportunity by his grace that he can change and transform us, make us a little bit more like Jesus every day and a little less like the old self that we were? Isn't the idea that we never become sinless until we are in heaven, but we can sin a little less every day? That's really what he's offering. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, who the god of this age, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. But we with unveiled faces can reflect the Lord's glory. We can be transformed into his image from glory into glory. That we speak more like Jesus. That we're patient more like Jesus. Or like the bumper sticker I saw as I was going a little too fast up an entrance ramp onto the highway. The bumper sticker said, do you follow Jesus this close? Maybe we can get transformed in our driving too. If we let that veil go, if we really listen and let grace soak in. I heard Paul said it, and I heard God knock a bit on my heart, and I wanted to ask that we consider this too. Have we really renounced secret and shameful ways? You know, those things that we go, nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to know. Everybody else does it anyway. We still hold on to some things that we'd be ashamed to show Jesus. ashamed to show our loved ones, our friends here in church? Do we still have some secret sin that's still a part of our life that today is the day we need to finally lay it down and say, let it be crucified and be done with? Because I think today he's inviting us to that. He's inviting us at the start of this Lenten journey to be done. The Jewish people, before they begin a Sabbath, especially the high holy Sabbath of Yom Kippur, have a habit of going through the house and sweeping out all the corners to make sure there's no yeast anywhere in their house. Maybe it's time for us to say, enough with the stuff I've kept a secret. Enough with the worry and fear that I've had that someone would ever find out, and it isn't even all that great of a pleasure anyway. I want to sweep it out. I want to be done with it. I don't want to have any secret or shameful ways any longer. But let's also remember, this is not so much about us changing. You know, what do they say? If your focus is on yourself, self-experts tell us this. I'm not going to be worried when I give this speech. I'm not going to be worried when I give this speech. That's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to be worried when you give the speech. But if we instead can put our focus on Jesus, put our focus not on Moses and what's fading, but our focus on Jesus who could conquer over everything and never faded, never has, never will. If we can put our focus on him, all of the power comes from him. So that's where we focus. That's where we plug in. Jesus is the one that we want and need. So hear the Father say to those disciples then, hear him say to us again, this is my beloved Son hanging on the cross. No, the cross is empty now, isn't it? Because he already paid the price. This is where my beloved Son was because he loves you and he loves me and I love him and he did this in love for you. So listen to him. Listen to him say from the cross, it is forgiven. Father, forgive them. Listen to him say from the cross, it is finished. No more of the secret shameful sins. Listen to him say from the cross, into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. Could we not say those same words every day? Could we not say, Lord, here I am. I want to be changed. I want to be freer. I want to be kinder. I want to be more patient. I want to be more like Jesus. Please, into your hands I commit my spirit. The Father said, listen to him. And I want to ask that we today listen to words of warning that he gives, that no sin is worth it, that where it would take us away from God. He did warn the disciples, don't tell anyone yet because they're not ready for that news. But does he not give us all kinds of warnings about sin? We can look at some of them as we get into Lent. But if you need a quick reminder, take a look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. All kinds of guidance and warnings there. Not warnings because he's mean, not warnings because he's trying to, you know, move us to some kind of law-driven perfectionism, but warnings because he loves us enough to want to save us from sin and all the corrupting and the rusting and the dulling that it does to us. So let's listen to Jesus' words of warning, but also to words of grace. Really, I love you exactly the way you are. Exactly. I love you even when I know that secret sin is there. I love you and I won't stop praying for you and serving you and working for you. And can we listen to his words of guidance? When he says, come to me. When he says, take my yoke upon you. When Jesus says, come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Can we listen to that word? We listen and learn how not to judge other people. Listen and learn how to pray for and even love an enemy. Listen to the guidance Jesus would give us to avoid the pitfalls and the veil coming back over our hearts again. Let's seek the transformation that the cross gave to us. The wonder of grace being given in place of guilt, of new life being given in place of the death that we deserve. Let's seek that transformation. Jesus, you paid it all. Jesus, you gave your all. Jesus, I want all you've given. I want all of you. Can we seek that transformation? And it's not going to be us in the driver's seat anymore. It's going to be him being the one to guide and lead. Can we listen then? If you have a GPS app on your phone and you sometimes navigate around it, You may, mine, I discovered on the way up here, there was a little orange sign, you know, those little warning signs about construction, and it said, there will be significant, let's see if I get it right, significant utility construction starting at 7 a.m. to 12. 15-minute delay minimum. Now, I could choose not to listen to that, and I could discover how my commute goes on Monday morning. Or I could listen to the warning and the guidance that was given and make adjustments accordingly. Can we not do the same thing with our Savior that we would do with a sign or with a GPS app or a website? Or can we not listen to Him first and listen to Him always? Friends, when we do that, we have such a chance to change. I'm reminded of an old poem. I'll share a little bit of it with you. The change that can be ours. I am an earthen vessel, cracked and chipped and old, but I recall God works the clay, and that thought makes me bold. I am an earthen vessel, cracked and chipped and old, but God has said I'll be transformed from clay to refined gold. That's the gift of grace that's before us. That's the gift you and I can receive every single time we listen to Him. May God help us do it to His glory. Amen and amen.